And now the game where we invite accomplished people to come on the air and show us what they ignored while they were out accomplishing things. We call the game Not My Job. Nancy Griffith is a Grammy-winning singer and songwriter. Her most famous recording might be of the song From a Distance, which she did 5 years before, in our opinion, way better than Bette Midler. Her new CD, Ruby's Torch, is a collection of course, torch songs. We are delighted to have her with us today. Nancy Griffith, welcome to Wait, Wait.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're very excited to have you. Now, you started playing music at a very young age. Is that not right?
I did. I started playing professionally when I was 14 in Austin, Texas.
Oh, wow. Now, I know Austin is a musical town. We've had a series of musicians on the show, and they've all, well, been male to this point. And one thing we learned is that basically all male musicians picked up music to impress chicks. So my question for you is, was that similar to the way you did it? Were you trying to be impressive? I mean,
not really. It was something that I took up when I was about 6 years old. I started watching a National Public Television show on guitar lessons that was taught by Miss Laura. And learned how to play guitar that way by watching TV.
Really?
Yeah, it came on Saturday mornings, and it was much more fun than watching cartoons.
That's the difference between boys and girls.
Right.
Girls want to impress Miss Laura.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
So you were writing your own songs and performing them at the age of 14?
Yes, I was.
I got to ask, what were those songs like?
They were absolutely terrible.
Oh.
They were horrible, and fortunately, the only one who remembered them was my mother, and she's passed on now.
Oh, really? So the secret is safe. Well, can you share one with us? I can't imagine thinking of myself at the age of 14, sharing my innermost thoughts with the world and not being, you know, what their response would be.
Well, my favorite one was Where Have You Gone, Dr. Timothy Leary?
Mm. And what was that song about, Nancy?
Well, it was about my adventure into hallucinogens.
Ah.
Really?
Yeah.
You were 14 years old and singing about your LSD trips?
Definitely.
Oh, wow. Were they real LSD trips, or you were just trying to imagine what one would be like?
No, they were real.
Oh, my God.
I was going to ask you if your parents minded that you were performing in clubs at 14, but clearly you're way beyond that.
Can you do a little verse of Where Have You Gone, Timothy Leary, for us?
No.
Okay. She has your own career to walk.
I think there's a great song in that whole story. The songs we lost with our mama.
Yeah.
Great
country song.
Now you made a transition. I don't know how formal it was. You came up in Austin in the folk scene, and then you moved in the recording charts anyway over to country. Did you actually physically move to Nashville?
I did, quite accidentally. I was moving to New York, and I stopped in Nashville to mix one of my records, and I got a phone call that the apartment I had rented in New York was no longer available because the woman wasn't going to move. And so Jim Rooney, my producer, just handed me the classifieds, and he said, well, you got your stuff with you. You might as well just move here.
Wow. And how did that work out? Did you enjoy Nashville?
It's great. I love living in Nashville. It's a wonderful place to live.
And to make the transition from folk to country, what is that like? Do you have to hand in your dashiki and get big hair? What do you?
I never got quite got the big hair, but you know, Nashville is such a great musical community, and it's music of all genres, and the quality of life here is great. It's just a wonderful musical, you know, community where you'll see John Hyatt standing next to George Strait. You know, it's just great.
Wow. Now, I did want to mention, you did record the song From a Distance. You didn't write it, but you did record it and had a huge hit with it, at least in Britain and the charts here. And then Bette Midler, of course, recorded it some years later.
Yeah, it was a blessing when Bette came along, because when I recorded it, it was a huge hit for me in Europe and Great Britain and Ireland. And they had a meeting here at the record label, and the woman who ran radio said that Nancy Griffith's voice hurt people's ears and that the American people would never understand From a Distance. So it never got released for me here in this country. And of course, I know where Bette Midler is, and I know where I am, and I don't have a clue where that woman from radio is.
There you go.
Yeah.
We heard that they use that song to wake up the astronauts on the space shuttle.
Yeah, and they use my version, too.
There you go.
That's beautiful. That's fantastic.
Now,
but is it true that Bette Midler is doing a version of Where Have You Gone, Timothy Leary? I just heard that.
She can make it a hit, you know. Nancy Griffith, we have asked you here to play a game. We are calling...
You're going to spend the rest of the summer making $8,000 per pitch.
In other words, you are Roger Clemens. The surefire Hall of Fame pitcher who every year makes major league teams wait around before he decides who to take to the prom this year.
Right.
This year, the lucky suitor, of course, the New York Yankees. And as Clemens gets ready to earn $28 million for about 4 months' work, we will ask you three questions about his career. Get two questions right, you will win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, under their home answering machine.
Okay.
Carl, who is singer-songwriter Nancy Griffith playing for?
Nancy is playing for Cheryl Williams of Waco, Texas.
All right.
All right. Well, Texan, fellow Texan for you. Here's your first question. In his controversial memoir about his own time playing the game, Jose Canseco said that Roger Clemens was really odd. He was the only major leaguer Canseco ever met who what? A, claimed to actually hate, as people, the members of the other team. B, cried after a loss. Or C, never ever cheated on his wife.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say C.
You're going to say C, never ever cheated on his wife?
Right.
You're right.
Hey!
According to Canseco, Clemens was the only player he ever met in a career in baseball who never ever strayed from the straight and narrow path.
That's great.
Isn't it, though?
Yes.
Oh, boy, that probably caused a lot of arguments in every other ball player's house.
That's about to say.
A perfectly innocent question from your wife. Did you ever meet Jose Canseco?
That's a lot of ball players.
That is a lot of ball players. In more ways than one, actually. All right, that was very good. Very good. You have two more questions. Get one right, you'll win it. Here we go. Now, Clemens has been known his whole career for his temper and for getting into disputes with hitters and umpires. In one famous incident, his arch-enemy Mike Piazza broke a bat while hitting against him in the 2000 World Series. And Clemens picked up a piece of the bat and threw it at Piazza while Piazza ran to first. Now, Clemens later explained that no, he wasn't trying to hurt poor Mr. Piazza. He was just what? A, he was afraid that Piazza might trip on the debris and he wanted to make sure it was off the field for his safety. B, he wanted to make sure that the bat fragment arrived safely in the dugout so he could keep it as a souvenir. Or C, he mistook the jagged piece of wood for the ball and was just trying to make a play.
That's a tough one. I'm going to say B.
You're going to say B, that he was trying to get the bat piece of bat into the dugout so he could save it as a souvenir.
Right.
No, it was C. He says that he merely mistook the end of the bat for the ball.
Okay.
Although people have said, okay, if he thought it was the ball, then why didn't he throw it at the first baseman instead of at Mike Piazza's head?
$28 million, huh?
$28 million. You know. All right. Now, this is interesting. It's dramatic. It's one for two with one more to go. You get this one right, you will win. Roger Clemens is famous for throwing pitches near batters' heads if they've hit well against him in prior at-bats. In an exhibition game in 2006, he almost took the head off of one batter who had hit a home run against him in a prior at-bat. Now, what was unusual about this particular instance? A, it was his own son. B, it was a 12-year-old girl. Or C, it was baseball legend Johnny Pesky, 81 years old.
I don't even know if he has a son, but I'm going to say A anyway.
You're going to say A, it was his son?
Yeah.
You're right. Very good.
Very
it was
good.
His son. It was an exhibition game against his son's minor league team. Clemens gave up a homer to his son, Kobe. All of his children, by the way, and I believe he has four. They all have a first name beginning with K.
That's right.
Striker. Yeah. In the next at bat, Clemens threw an inside pitch that almost killed his firstborn. Kobe, knowing what was good for him, laughed off the incident.
Wow.
So, Carl, how did Nancy Griffith do in our quiz?
Well enough, Peter. Nancy had two correct answers, so she wins for Cheryl Williams. Congratulations, Nancy.
Oh, thank you. Congratulations to Cheryl.
Oh, well done, Nancy Griffith. That was great. Do you know who Roger Clemens is? Are you a sports fan?
I am. I'm a baseball fan.
You are?
Yeah.
So, did you know the answer to any of those questions, or did you guess?
I guessed.
All right, good. Because actual knowledge, I think, in this game is cheating.
Yeah.
Nancy Griffith is an award-winning singer-songwriter. Her new album, Ruby's Torch, is now out on Rounder Records. Find it at record stores and at rounder.com. Nancy Griffith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, great to have you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In the wee small hours of the morning, while the whole